All right, well, good morning. We are going to start week 7 of Abide here in just a few minutes, but I did just want to take a couple minutes to kind of acknowledge that many of you, not just a few, not just several, but many of you have told me this week has been very challenging, heartbreaking, sad, frustrating, confused, violence, hate. I think especially some of the responses we hoped would have more compassion, and so we're confused by that and so many different things. So I really wanted to speak in Friday. I was praying, and God brought four things to my mind that as we go from here, as the church, as the people of God, those who have the Spirit of God in them, here's four things that we really need to do moving forward. Number one, at Grace Meadows Church, let us lead the way in worship. When we're down, when we're frustrated, when we're feeling hopeless, we can't wait on feeling like worshiping. We have to lead ourselves into worship. I mean, social media and the news, anything that happens in the news today around the world, we know about it. And we've got to crush the spirit of anxiety and frustration and hopelessness and all that by drowning it out through worship. So what does it look like? I mean, yes, be up to date in the news, and yes, grieve and mourn, and all those things are good, but at times, we got to just turn that TV off. We got to put that phone away. We just got to get on our knees and worship. And David sets this example in the Old Testament. Man, when he loses his son, first thing he does, worships. Oftentimes, joy is just on the other side of our worship. So we got to lead the way in worship. Number two, we desperately need to lead the way in prayer. I mean, the human heart cannot fix the problems that we have. In fact, the only thing that the human heart brought to the solution was the problem that made it to where there needed to be a solution. Jesus is that solution. He's a solution to sin, to disunity, to hate, to violence. We are not the solution. We need a holy, deeply loving, all-powerful God to intervene. Nothing will change until we come before God boldly and say, God, we depend on you. We need you. You've got to be the one to work. So we need to pray, pray, and pray. And next, we got to lead the way in love. Now, one thing I learned this week is that we got to create space for healthy disagreement and open dialogue. I realized I got to do a much better job of reaching out to people who act differently, look differently, and believe differently, to tell them that I see them, I love them, and that I want them to know this hope that I have in the name of Jesus. See, proximity can start to eliminate prejudice. We have to not only talk to each other again, but we've got to love each other again deeply. Man, Jesus ate with the Pharisees and the tax collectors. And Jesus, even being a Jew, went to Samaria, a place where religious people simply wouldn't go, because he's for all people. And we need to be rubbing elbows with all different groups of people too, showing them the depths of God's love for them. And lastly, we need to lead the way in boldness and truth. One of the most formative times of my life was 9/11. I was in middle school. And I noticed that in the days afterwards, our president at the time said that these perpetrators of violence intended to inflict terror and horror and fear and hate. He said, we can't let that happen. He said, go to work, live your life. And in the face of violence and hate, we must hold our heads high and live in courage and bravery and tell the truth in love even more. We got to remember the victory we already have in Christ. A Christian does not die. The worst you can do to the Christian is simply to improve his location. So live boldly in love, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ without fear. And guys, I'm with you. There was a lot of heartbreak this week, but Jesus doesn't fall off of his throne. And I love you guys, and I'm with you. Let's pray. We'll get into the message. Father, man, we do. We come before you. If there's anything in us right now that thought that we could accomplish this, we bring that before you, God, now, and we say, no, it's got to be you. It's got to be your work in our own hearts, in our community, in our nation. So, Father, we come to you, the name above all names, and we say, do your work. We're an open book. we're a blank canvas. Go to work in us. We humble ourselves in that way before you. Father, I pray if there's any kind of fear or discouragement, I pray that you would drown that out with the spirit of boldness, of power, of love, and a sound mind. That we would step into the truth and we would be bold and we would love deeply still and perhaps even more. So, Father, we love you very, very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, well, like I said, we're in the seventh week of our Abide series. We've, in essence, been sitting in John chapter 15 the whole time. We're going to read through 12 through 17. Let me just back up for a second. Jesus has said, abide in him. He said, not only abide in him, but abide in his love. And then he says, here in verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, Jesus says here in verse 16, he says, fruit that lasts. Now, one of the things that I don't like about fruit is that it doesn't last. I love me a good avocado, but you got like a 45-minute ripeness window to eat it. Or even with bananas, you know, you could the top of it could still be green, not ready to eat, but the bottom of it is all dark and mushy, and you don't even know what to do with it. Throw it out, wait, you have no idea what to do. So it is in life. Sometimes there are things that are ripe and healthy, but then those things fade over time. Almost everything fades over time. The Roman Empire, which, by the way, ladies, to answer the question, I think about the Roman Empire probably about three times a week. Did you see that going around social media? How often does your man think about the Roman Empire? Very often, I think about the Roman Empire. They reigned for over 1,000 years. And yet, what happened? Their reign ended. Churches, organizations fade. Countries fade. Man, Grace Meadows Church is a great, great church. One day, Grace Meadows Church will not be here. America is the greatest country there's ever been. And one day, America itself will not be here. Things fade. Our bodies fade. I'm becoming more and more aware of that. I sleep with two pillows between my knees now, just so my back doesn't hurt in the morning from sleeping. Bodies fade. So many things fade. So the question then is, what is it that doesn't fade? I mean, am I spending my life prioritizing things that just fade at the end of the day? Don't we want to be centered around the things that are going to last? Man, I spend so much time being frustrated about so-and-so and so-and-so, and then I take a step back and I go, that's what I'm frustrated about? Or thinking about things like, man, how are the finances doing at the church? Or how is attendance? Or does this person approve of what I'm doing or not doing? Or I think about, how's that fantasy football team doing? You know, do I need to make a big trade? And you're like, take a step back and you go, it's not that these aren't good things. It's not that it's not even worthwhile. I mean, like, we got a great nation to live in and we should prioritize, you know, living in it, and that it's a good thing. And yet, we don't want everything to center around these things that fade. We actually want our life to be about something that is so much bigger and greater. So then the question is, what is this fruit that lasts? Because I want to center my life around it. Well, Jesus has said it several times, even just here in this section of his Abide message. He says, love is what lasts. And aren't you glad, especially this week, that when hate is over, when violence is over, when pain and heartbreak and all those things are over, that love will last at the end of the day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love perseveres, it never fails. As in, love lasts till the end, it endures. In Lamentations, it says, his love and compassions never fade. In Psalm 136, it says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Or Psalm 100, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Or Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Or Isaiah 54, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. When all the dust settles and everything ends, it is love that will remain. Now think about that for a second. All of eternity, love being the only thing that remains. When we had our first young adults ministry meeting a couple Fridays ago, I did the rope illustration. Maybe you've seen the old rope illustration that Francis Chan did, where essentially you get like a 50 or 100 foot rope, and it's supposed to kind of be ongoing to represent eternity, how it just goes on and on and on and on forever. But then you put a little piece of tape on the end of it, and you say, this little piece of tape, this kind of is like time here on earth in reference to all of eternity. And he said, so many people spend their whole lives around that little tiny piece of tape, orienting everything around it, getting the promotion or getting the new car or getting the nice house, and we put all this energy and effort into it. And he says, how foolish, because you should use that little piece of tape in reference to all of eternity. And in all of eternity, the only things that we really take with us are us. We take ourselves. And by God's grace, if he would pour his love into our lives and that love would pour out into the lives of other people, we would also take those people as well. He said, that's what we should focus on. It is love, it is love, it is love. Jesus is saying here in this passage in John 15, he's saying, abide in my love, connect yourself to this love, because you can't go out and love. First, you got to be connected to the source of love. And now, as you're connected to the source of love, he says, go out and love other people. This is a really bad example, so just let me tell you from the start, all right? This analogy, this illustration falls apart very quickly, all right? Think of your life like you're a coffee pot, all right? Let's say you're a really good coffee pot, 14-cup coffee pot, ready to receive. You want that coffee. You can't go and make coffee, can you? What you got to do? You got to put yourself into the coffee maker, and that coffee maker has got to be plugged into the source, and that's how coffee is produced. And once that coffee pot gets full, it wasn't made to just stay there in the coffee maker, was it? It was meant to be poured out. I don't know anybody who drinks coffee just straight from the pot. That is called a problem right there, if you do. It's meant to be poured into other people's cups. And we pour it into other people's cups, and we pour it into other people's cups, and then we come back to the source, and he continues to fill us up, and he continues to fill us up. And so it is with the life of a believer. We come to him. We abide. We connect ourselves to him. We don't invent love. He says, I've already loved you. Follow my example. This is what it is. Abide in my love. Sit in my love. And now you can give this to other people. You know, if there's one thing I say more than anything else as a parent, it's this. Girls, love each other. Stop pulling each other's hair. Get along. Don't sit on your sister. Stop arguing. Yes, we have to keep her. That's your sister. Like, just love each other. I mean, they'll argue about anything and everything. And I even said that the other day. I said, you guys could argue about breathing. And one of them said, how could we argue about breathing? All you do is breathe in and breathe out. And then sure enough, another one says, no, you don't. You breathe out and then you breathe in. See, that's my point here. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. This is Jesus' plan for reaching the world. It is to love each other. I know a lot of us this week are very frustrated. And while there are a lot of things that we can do to make a difference, Jesus tells us in John 13, two chapters earlier, he says the best thing you can do to make a difference out there is to love deeply those who are in here. They'll see a difference. And I'm just telling you, it's not going to be our persuasive speech, though good and important. It's not even going to be things like winning an election, although elections are extremely important. It's not even going to be by knowing all the right things, because Paul says himself, he says, knowledge passes away, but in the end, all you have is love. Love lasts. Love is the entire difference, and our lives need to center all the way around it. It is love, it is love, it is love. So, the question you may be asking is, how? Well, Paul, one of the New Testament writers, really understood this idea and reiterates the same command in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there. He's explaining to Christians how to practically love, starting in verse 9, going through verse 17. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. All right, let's process through this passage very quickly. He says, love must be sincere. It must be genuine, as in we gotta mean it. It doesn't just say one thing and then do something else. It matches, it lines up, and it hates what is evil, and it clings to what is good, as in it holds on, it grips tightly to what is good. And next he says, be devoted to each other in love. Now, devotion means a profound commitment. I should be profoundly committed to loving you, church. That's what a disciple of Jesus says. I want to honor you. Because honor has a lot more to do with our loving decision than it does someone else's merits. Peter even says, honor the emperor, and the emperor did not merit honor. But that's a choice that we make to honor each other. He says, share with those in need and practice hospitality. Who needs my help this week? Who can I invite over this week? How can I welcome people who are new? How can I be hospitable? How can I share my home? How can I buy a meal for someone? How can I practice over and over and over what it means to be hospitable? And he says, bless those who persecute you. One thing I learned from a pastor a long time ago is when someone is ugly to you, like as a reflex, just love them well. Go and get them a gift card or write them a letter and highlight whatever it is that's good that you see. Pray for them to be blessed by God, because man, that is such a better way to live than to hold on to unforgiveness and hold on to bitterness. It is freeing for us when we just choose love instead of holding on to those things. And he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. As in, see people for what they're going through and be there in the midst. I see you celebrating and I'm celebrating with you. I see what you're going through, the pain, and I want to be there for you. Man, after all the funerals that I've been to over the years, I can tell you, nobody's gonna come back to you and say, man, I remember that thing that you said and it stuck with me so deeply. But what they will say is, man, I remember that you were there. I remember that you picked up the phone and you showed up. You were there for me in my time of pain. It really is that simple. Be with people and what they're going through. And he says, live in harmony. Paul says, don't be conceited, but associate to the lowly. Now, associate here is kind of a big deal. It's not just to serve the lowly. It means be willing to bring them into your friend group. Those you can't gain anything from, those who can't give you anything in return, those who seem maybe a little odd or icky or weird to you, love them deeply. Associate yourself to them. Welcome them. Eat with them. And then he says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Perhaps a wise question would be, is there someone I'm not totally at peace with? And what do I need to do about it? Doesn't mean we need to reconcile, and it doesn't mean we need to lie and say everything is our fault in order to make peace, but it does simply mean we must extend the hand out the best we know how and exhaust all options that depend on us. So Paul says, guys, these are great ways to love the people around us. As we abide in Jesus, just like Jesus says in John 15, as we abide in his love, these are great ways for us to practically go and love the people around us so that they can see a difference in us. And perhaps, as Acts 2 shows, God will add to our number those who are being saved. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. When I was on a high school mission trip, I was probably 16 or 17 years old, and a mission trip to the beach. I don't really know how that works. I need to go back and ask my youth pastor about that. But we were staying at a hotel, and it just rained all week long. Like, I mean, we were cooped up in the hotel all week, playing cards, doing, you know, games and stuff like that. And finally, a friend of mine and I decided, in the heavy rain, we just wanted to get outside. So we go outside, and there's this grass, and I feel so bad looking back because I know the hotel manager, you know, this place just got ripped up from that water and sliding through it and everything. But what we would do is we would just go out there and run as fast as we could and dive or slide or try to stay on our feet, and just, we were just having a blast just getting drenched and soaked. And people were coming in, running into the hotel and saying, you know, things about us like, you know, look at those idiots and, you know, stuff like that. And hey, it was hard for us to disagree with them, but we were just having a good old time. Well, we noticed after some time, we look in the windows and more curtains are opening and watching us just dive around and be soaked. And then we noticed that a few people came outside under the covered area of the front and got a little bit closer look, watching us have a good old time. And then before we knew it, one, two, three more people came and said, I'm going to go out there too and have a good old time. Before we knew it, there was probably 40 or 50 people out there just having a good old time, getting soaked, laughing, living it up. Years later, I would have friends say, you remember that time? Remember how good that was? Remember how awesome that was? Here's the point I want to make. Don't you think the Christian life should kind of look like that? I mean, don't you think it should be when everybody else is just kind of sitting inside and judging everything and is miserable and pouting and frustrated and all that, that, man, we just decide we're going to reject the things that bound us. We're going to live in freedom. We're going to live in freedom from the unforgiveness, from the bitterness, from just sitting and stewing in this hate and this violence and this frustration and this anxiety. Instead, what we're going to do is we're just going to live freely. And I think what happens over time is that people, maybe at first they go, yeah, this is weird. You guys are idiots. I'm out. And perhaps most people continue with that thought process. But you're going to find over time that as we are just living and embracing and truly embracing the Christian life, that there are going to be people looking and going, I'm so sick of sitting here with my arms folded and being frustrated and angry and hating people. I want what they got. They're having a good old time. And again, like I said before, if we want to change the world out there, we first got to deeply love the people who are in here. What does it look like for us as we go from here to abide more deeply in his love and to love others around us deeply? And perhaps that's the number one thing we can do if we want to see the world change. That's the number one thing we can do right here, leaving this place. As Grace Meadows Church, man, let's love each other deeply. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love that you have poured out, that you sent your son, that you emptied the cupboard, that you were the one who made the first move, that you're the one who demonstrated what love is as you just gave everything in order to make a way to be with us forever. So we abide. That's the love that we abide in. And perhaps we need to sit there. Perhaps we need to sit there for a long while until you begin to reorient some things in our hearts. Perhaps we just need to sit there and we just need to say, God, I know you love me. Not because I merit it, but because that's who you are. And so many of us, man, we just need to know that you love us. And help us now to take this love in and to pour it out in the church, first and foremost, to each other. And man, if there are relationships in here that are not quite right, I pray, Holy Spirit, man, would you just go to work and bring about forgiveness and reconciliation and closeness, so we know that you love to be in those spaces. So, Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the polarization to simmer, the violence to stop, the hate to end. Father, we pray for a great movement in your name. Ah, we love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to do one more song, and as we worship, feel free, if you want to come down to the altar, man, maybe you have a prayer need, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you want to just pray for our country, our community. Man, I'd love to pray with you. Aside from that, let's just stand and worship together.